38. I'll be honest, the next hour passed so quickly that when I got Veronica's ping, I was sort of surprised by it. After eating, I'd set to helping pack the quetzals for the journey, since it seemed like almost all the warriors in the Blue Palm Clan wanted to come along. I tried to explain why that wasn't necessary, but who was I to tell them they couldn't kick ass and take names? Though I suspected a large part of it was that they enjoyed riding around on the quetzals. Still, I couldn't quell the giddy feeling that bounced in my chest as I approached Thera's hut. I couldn't believe the pixie had finished so quickly. I mean, I knew that their dust sped up the creation of things and whatnot, but still, he'd shrunk the time frame considerably, and I could only wonder what my sword and gauntlet would look like now. "Hello?" I said, as I knocked and entered the hut to find Jorge the pixie standing there with his arms crossed. "Finally," he replied and adjusted his monocle. "I have been waiting here for over 7 minutes. He showed me a solid gold pocket watch that was encrusted with jewels. 7 minutes. "Sorry," I said with a shrug. "I came as soon as I got the ping."
"I'm going to have to charge you double for making me stand around," Jorge replied, and then fixed me with a stern glare.
"Well, since I'm the boss of you, I'm going to pass on that, since I'm pretty sure the contract says I can make you stand around all day if I want." I dared him to contradict me, and when he just grumbled and snorted, I smirked. "So, where are the goods?"
"In the corner."
He gestured lazily toward the far side of the hut. "I've already sent the rest of the Sunstone to Veronica. There wasn't a lot left, though." He paused a beat.
"So, if you don't need anything, I do have a round of golf to make."
He tapped his watch.
"I have a 12:30 tea time."
"You can go," I said, already headed toward the corner. And as I saw my sword, I completely forgot about the pixie entirely. Had he left? Had he stayed? Had he sung opera and danced a jig? Who the fuck knew? All I knew was that the sword of the Destroyer King gleamed. The rust and pitting were gone, and the metal was as sleek as ever. It held a sort of off-red hue to it and seemed to radiate with power. The blade looked so sharp that I was sure it could cut through just about anything, and the polished metal pommel gleamed like a tiny star. My hands ached to touch it, and as I reached out to touch it, a surge of surety and confidence surged through me. And following that, power. Sheer, indescribable, unending power. That's when I saw the message flashing across my vision so fervently, I wasn't sure how I had missed it before.
"You have completed a hidden quest, the Destroyer King's Mantle, Part 4. But are you worthy to carry the power of the Destroyer King? Only time will tell."
I acknowledged the prompt and gave the sword a test swing. It was better balanced than ever before, and I heard it whistle through the air, even though it hadn't been a hard swing. It felt light, yet strong, heavy, yet agile. I wanted to play with it more, to take it out on a test run, but that's when I saw the hand of the Destroyer King. The gauntlet had changed even more radically than the sword. Like the sword of the Destroyer King, the pitting and rust were gone, and it gleamed in the light of the hut, but it had physically changed in structure. Before, It had been a plastic wrist guard with a couple of straps to hold it onto my forearm. Now, though? Now, it was a sleeve of metal wraps that cascaded upward to culminate in a pauldron. Or, well, the spot where a pauldron would go, since what I'd initially thought was a spike actually looked more like a peg to help secure a pauldron. The whole thing looked like one of those ancient gladiator sleeves. And as I picked it up and put it on, I got another quest message.
You have completed a hidden quest, the Destroyer King's Mantle, Part 5. But are you worthy to carry the power of the Destroyer King? Only time will tell. Congratulations! Your worthiness in the eyes of the Destroyer King has increased. Your proficiency with Destroyer King items has increased.
As I read the text, I couldn't help the smile that crossed my lips, especially when I realized I now had a new buff.
Mantle of the Destroyer King. Initiate. When wielding Destroyer King items, the attack and defense of all Destroyer King items will increase by 10%. Critical strike will increase by 1%. Durability will increase by 10%. Weight will decrease by 10%.
It didn't take much to confirm what the buff did. All the relevant stats on both the hand of the Destroyer King and the sword of the Destroyer King were now blue instead of white. And when I examined them closer, I found that the blue number represented my base stat plus the buff. Sweet, I said, as I looked over the stats and realized that the base stats of both had doubled now that they had been repaired.
Are you pleased, Garrett?
Thera said, and I nearly jumped out of my skin. I hadn't even known she was there, and as I turned to look at her, she had a bemused smile on her face. I am very pleased, Thera. I gestured at her with my sword. You have no idea what you've done.
I have some idea,
she smirked.
I made them shinier and hopefully deadlier.
Her face got serious then.
I hope it will be enough for what we must do.
I think it will be. I smiled at her. And even if it's not, I have you and the rest of the Blue Palm Tribe to back me up. How can I lose?
When you put it that way, I almost feel like I'm not marching my people towards certain doom.
She blew out a long breath.
That said, I still feel like it is the right thing to do.
She looked at the sky.
It is what I would want others to do were I in the Orange's position.
And that's why you're a great leader, I said, as I moved toward her and hugged her. Her arms wrapped around me, and for one nice moment, we just held each other. It was strange. I knew we needed to get going, that her being here meant that the preparations were completed and it was time to take the battle to Titania and the Oranges. And yet, I didn't want to let her go. I didn't want this to end. Mostly, though, I didn't want this to be the last time we shared a moment like this between us.
Don't die,
I whispered as I leaned down to kiss her.
I shall do my best.
Her lips brushed against mine.
You do not die either.
It's a deal. Our lips met then. This kiss was different, desperate somehow, like it might be the last time we ever got to do it, and something about that made me sad. But more than that, it made me furious. Furious that Titania was making us go fight her, that we had to take on an entire tribe to get to her. And most of all, I was furious that the Queen of the Summer Court was putting Thera specifically into danger. For that, she would have to pay. And pay. And pay.